Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Baba Basra Nun Zayin, we are holding at the Mishnah, which is partway down the Amud. Elu Dvarim Sheyesh Lahen Chazaka. We're going to keep to the topic of Cheskas Sholei Shanim, which up until now involved a party who took over a property. He took over the farm, and he's been working on it and gathering the crops for 3 years running. And he wants to use that as proof of ownership. I bought the property. Oh, where's my shtar? Where's my document? Well, look, it's been 3 years with no complaints, no objections, no mecha'a. I figured it's a done deal. It's safe, it's secure. I wasn't careful to keep my shtar. The Chachamim say, 3 years of chazaka can serve as a proof, as a raya, of ownership in lieu of a shtar. So we're going to keep to that topic, but we're going to do a slight shift. Instead of speaking about a farmer, we're speaking about usage rights. So Reuven decided to start putting his animals, keeping his equipment, inside Shimon's yard, inside Shimon's chatzar, claiming that he purchased those rights, or he was given those rights as granted as a gift. And he has 3 years of use. He's been placing his animal there for three, to prove his point. Look, why didn't you get in my way? Why didn't you say anything? You've been tolerating my presence for 3 years running. You wouldn't do that if it wasn't really my true legal right. So I want to use that use, that tashmish, as a raya for ownership. Eilu dvarim sheyesh lahen chazaka. So it depends. Does it work? Well, it depends. How permanent, how significant, how substantial his presence was. If it's something permanent, something really, you know, visible, something really obstructive. Yeah, so being there 3 years running indicates that you have the legal rights to do so. Otherwise, the owner would have gotten you out of there. However, if it's just a temporary type of fleeting, use, it doesn't mean that you own the property. It doesn't mean you have the rishus to use it. It doesn't mean you have legal rights. The owner simply, you know, turned the other way. He ignored your presence. He tolerated it. So you can't generate a chazaka from these sort of lighter usages. So only something which is heavy, which is permanent, which is substantial, can serve as a raya. Otherwise not. And here come some examples. Hayamamid behema b'chatzer. So he was keeping his animal in his neighbor's chatzer. Tano, rechaim, bekiraim, an oven, a grinding machine. Kiraim is a stove. Umagadal tarnagoylim. Oh, he kept his animal, his chickens there. He's raising his chickens in his neighbor's yard. Venoisin zivle b'chatzer. Or he was keeping his... He was storing his waste, the animal waste, in the chatzer. All these are not considered substantial enough to prove ownership. Rashbam says, these are metaltalin, things which, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. It's not something permanent. Ve'enon tashmish shel kivius. They're not considered permanent usages, and the bal chatzer, the true owner of that chatzer, isn't necessarily concerned about it. You know, he'll let him be there a couple of years. So therefore, the user cannot use his presence and his use as a raya. Look, if it wasn't really mine, you would have objected. Not necessarily. Maybe he was just okay with it. Right? Until you're actually, you know, using it in a permanent way. Rashbam calls it machzakis beguf hakarka. An actual direct karka use. Anything less than that, perhaps he just turned the other way and he just tolerated it. Eina chazak. Aval. Oh. But let's say he did something really to the actual karka. Aval osa mechitza lebehemta gevah asar atfachem. Instead of just keeping his animal there, he made a mechitza for it. 10 tefach high enclosure. So he's changing the actual structure of the property. V'chein l'tanur, v'chein l'kirayim, v'chein l'rechayim. Likewise, if he enclosed his piece of equipment, he built a wall, a fence around it. Or, hichnis, tarnagoyl, v'seich habayis. Or, instead of keeping his chickens out in the yard, he raised his chickens inside the next door home. Wow, that's something really obstructive. V'asa makim leziblay, or in the case of the waste storage, instead of just, you know, depositing the waste on the yard, he made a little pit for it. Amayk shloisha three tefach deep to guard the waste. Oygavaya shloisha, or he enclosed it with a fence three tefach high. Harizu chazaka, all these on the second half of the Mishnah are permanent usages, are significant, substantial tashmishim, which if they have been going on for 3 years, does indicate chazak. Asks the Gemara, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. So what about keeping the animal next door? The Mishnah begins by saying, it's not a chazak. But in the Seifa we say, well, if there's a mechitza around it, so anything within the mechitza, it's presumed to be, presumed that you were granted the rights to that makam. What's the difference whether it has a mechitza or not? The Rashbam explains, you know, certainly, Bnei HaChatzar, the residents of this Chatzar, are certainly careful not to allow a stranger. I mean, they're makbid on a random person bringing his animals into this place. And the fact that they didn't get in his way would perhaps indicate that he has a right to do so, that he purchased the rights to use this Chatzar in this manner. So why does it not generate a chazak? Why do you need a mechitza? Why isn't animal presence alone sufficient? Maishna Reisha or Maishna Seif. Omar Ula answers Ula. Kol she'ilu benichse hager kana, benichse chaveri kana. If you recall, we learned that when it comes to being kaina, by way of chazaka, to be being kaina, the hefger assets of a ger that passed away without kids, you can't just walk in there. You have to actually affect a direct improvement on the property. A little dig, a fence, right? So, likewise by chazaka. Kol she'ilu benichse hager kana. Any activity, any ma'ase, any act which is effective in terms of acquiring a ger's property, benichse chaver kana. Likewise, that is required for chazaka, in terms of claiming ownership to on somebody else's property. Kol she'ilu b'nichsi hager loikana. However, activities which do not qualify for chazaka by nichsi hager, for instance, keeping your animals on the nichsi hager, it's not a chazaka, because there's no direct change on the property. B'nichsi hager loikana. Likewise, when it comes to chazaka on one's property, there's no chazaka in this manner. Maskeflor of Sheshes comes of Sheshes with Akasha. How can you compare the two contexts? You're right, they're totally two different worlds, two different systems. Uklalahu, is this really a general, all-encompassing rule? That the definition of Chazaka by Cheskas Shalishanim, which is being used as a raya for ownership, is one and the same to the chazaka of Nichsi Hager, which is a chazaka used as an act of acquisition. Totally different thing. For instance, very near. Here comes an example. Near, which means a farmer who just plows but doesn't plant. Right? So he overturns the soil and gives it a rest, which is something that farmers would typically do once in a while to allow their farm to replenish and regenerate. So if a person does that, does it count as chazaka? The b'nichsi hager kana. If he does it to a hefker property, if he does it as a form of acquisition, of course it works. Because, as we learned, if you dig, that's enough for chazaka. But b'nichsi chaveri lo kana, but it doesn't work. It doesn't qualify for the chazaka of shalei shanim, which is a totally different point. It's meant to prove ownership, not to make ownership, to prove ownership. And leaving the land unplanted, leaving it like this, it's not really an expression of ownership. And therefore, it does not qualify for chazaka. Chazaka is only something which would trigger a protest, an expression of ownership, collecting the crop, behaving like an owner, right? So when it comes to Kinyan, of course it works. Because he made, you know, a direct change on the property. He altered the property, he dug. But B'nichsi Chaveira, when it comes to Chazaka against an owner, it doesn't work. And on the flip side as well, V'arayachilas Piris, for instance, gathering the crop off the field. The B'nichsi Chaveira Ikana, B'nichsi Hager Laikana. When it comes to the Chazaka of Shalei Shanim, which is out to prove ownership, that works. Right? So, he's been doing this for 3 years. We see him as an owner. But by Nichsi Hager, when it comes to acquiring property, the Chazaka used to acquire property, it doesn't work. Right? As we learned back in Daf Nun Daled, it's not about what you have from the property, it's about improving the property itself. You have to affect change on the property, you have to benefit the property, you have to do a masa, which alters the property to the better. Right? So it's a totally different concept. Cheskas Shalei Shanim is there to prove ownership. Cheskas Kinyan is to generate ownership. Totally different system. So back to our question. And now Mishnah was speaking about proving ownership. A fellow who kept his animals in his neighbor's yard, I mean, if he's not an owner, what's he doing there? Ela Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Avuah. You're right, typically, leaving animals next door is a raya to your ownership, or at least that you got the rights to keep them there. But if they're shutfin, if they're partners, okay, so you have a couple of people living together, Reuben and Shimon living in their houses, which are open to the chatzar. So the chatzar is a jointly owned yard. The ba'amada kadilei kapti, in this case, the partners are not makbid. They're not going to object to each other's keeping the you know their animals there. Right? You know, as long as I don't need that corner, I'm okay with his animal. Amachitza kapti. But once he starts erecting fences and making it a permanent presence, this is not a barn. This is not a pen. What are you doing? So that's what the Mishnah means. In a chatzar shutfin, just leaving your animals doesn't really indicate ownership. Doesn't indicate a zechus. Until you make it permanent. Until it has an air of permanence, such as behemoth enclosed in a mechitza. Asks the Gemara, Uba amadak dilei kapti? Really, even shutfin? You don't think they're makbit? On the animals roaming around, v'atanan, we have a Mishnah, ha-shutfin, sh'nodra no'za mizeh, asur in the kanas l'chatzar. So we have two partners who got mad at each other, and they made a nether, a vow. Look, you can't have any benefit from me or my possessions, and, right, vice versa. So what about the chatzar that they both own? They can't. None of them can enter that chatzar. Because inevitably, he's stepping in to his friend's property, because they both own the entire thing. Now hold it. If shutfin aren't really makbid on each other walking through their chatzar and keeping their animals in a temporary fashion, so why can't I walk in there? I mean, even if I can't benefit from him, he's not makbid on that. You know, I can't take something which is rightfully his. But if it's something that typically partners don't care about, Rashbam says, it's like hefker with respect to this access, to this usage. It's like he doesn't have a claim on this. He doesn't have ownership on this. He doesn't care about me walking through the property. So the fact that the Mishnah does not allow these partners to access this joint property, doesn't that indicate to us that they do care? They are on top of all these things. So back to our story. How could we just ignore the fact that he kept his behema in the chatzar for so many years. Certainly his shutif should have gotten in the way, should have objected. Ella amar Rav Nachman amar Rabba Bar Avoha. You're right. If it's a chatzar, you're right. They're makpid, and you know he wouldn't allow me to keep the animals. If he did, it's a raya. That in fact he allowed me and he granted me the rights, etc. However, when the Mishnah indicates that just keeping the animals is not a chazaka, hacha berachava shalachiri bata maskinan, rather than a chatzar, which is in front of the homes, which is, you know, a constantly used area. We're speaking about a rechava, a backyard behind the homes, which isn't so frequently used. It's more for storage. So in that location, the Bahamada Kiddi, just simply placing animals there, loy kapti, these shutfin are not really, you know, they don't really care about that. So therefore, doing that is not a chazok. Asks the Gemara of Amachitza kapti, but if he puts a machitza around the animals, v'amachitza kapti. Okay, that's the end of the sentence. So just simply placing the animals in the rechava doesn't really say much about chazak, or about ownership. Because my shutev wouldn't really care about it. He wouldn't make a ruckus about it. But amachitza kapti, once I start making an air of permanence to it, I put a machitza around it, he would certainly not allow that. And if he did, and I have it for 3 years, it's considered a chazak. Rapapa amar idiv idiv b'chatzir ha-shutfin. I have another approach. Both our Mishnah, which indicates that putting the behemoth on the chatzar is not a chazokah, because he's not really makpid, and it wouldn't really trigger a protest, whereas the Mishnah in Nedarim, which indicates that even just accessing the chatzar is something that they care about, something that they're makpid about, are both speaking b'chatzar ha-shutfin, the front yard of a shutfin. V'yigad l'kabdi, v'yigad l'kabdi, you know what? It's not etched in stone. Some and some. Some people are makbid on these things. Some people are not makbid. And therefore, it generates this sort of two-way street when it comes to halacha. Gabe mamoina lakula, gabe isura lakhumra. When it comes to monetary issues, commerce issues, such as in our Mishnah, can using the chatzar indicate ownership? Can it provide chazaka? So when it comes to mamoina, when it comes to financial issues, we go lekula, we're lenient, which basically means that, you know, we can just assume that he didn't really care, and you're allowed to really do it without asking permission. We're assuming that the shutav is not really makbid, and likewise, if he's not makbid, it wouldn't bother him. And if it wouldn't bother him, so it cannot be used as a chazakah. The whole point of a chazakah is it should have bothered you. Apparently I'm the owner. No, it's not something that he cares about. And that explains why it's not a chazakah. That explains our mission. Gabi Yisur l'chumra. However, when it comes to matters of Isur, like Nidarim, you have to be machmer. You have to be strict on that. Because maybe he is going to be makbit. So you can't just walk through the property if in fact you're not meant to have anah from each other. So that's how Rav Papa reconciles the apparent contradiction between the halacha of Nedarim, where we do reckon with just this type of temporary usage, versus Chazaka, where we just ignore it. Ravina Amar Da'ilim Le'kapti. Ravina says, no, people are not particular about this type of light usage, right? The shutfin are not makbid on each other. And that explains why it cannot be used as proof of ownership. However, in Nedarim, you cannot walk through that joint chatzar. You know why? V'hamani Rabbi Elazar. That Mishnah reflects a special shita, the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. What does Rabbi Elazar say? Even something petty, even something insignificant, if you take it from the Mudar Hanoah, it's asr. The sign of Rabbi Elazar, Aymar, afilu vitur, even something which typically people would just forego and ignore and forgive. Asur b'mudar hano. You still cannot take that from a person who you may not take hano'ah from. Rashbam brings an example. Another example is halacha. So one example is our case. Walking through the property. That's called vitur. He's not makbid on his shutif, but still, you're getting something from him. Another example would be a grocer. He throws in an extra egg to the deal. Right? So the chachamim say, look, he's not doing it as a personal, gesture. It's part of the deal. It's, throws in an extra baker's dozen, right? Rav Lezer says, no. Even something which is vitur, which typically people just, forego, ultimately I'm having a no from him, and that's usur in Nedarim. Okay, so let's just recap. We had a Mishnah. Being ma'amid behemois doesn't constitute chazaka unless he makes it into a permanent fixture, such as if he builds a mechitza around the behemois. What's the difference? So first we thought, well, one is a direct mas on the property, one is not. The Gemara turned away from that teretz. And we said, well, we're talking about a chatzar ashutfin, so they're not makpid on just putting the animal unless he makes a mechitza. What do you mean? The Mishnah in Darim says that shutfin are usur to have this type of benefit from each other. So even just, accessing the property would be usur, would be considered significant. Says the Gemara, well, that's by a chatzar, and now Mishnah is speaking about a rechava. Another Torah says, well, sometimes they're makpid, sometimes not. We have to go l'chumra when it comes to Nadarim and l'kula when it comes to mamanis, and we don't consider it a chazaka. And finally, we have Ravina. People are not makbid, but still, when it comes to Nadarim, even that would be us. Okay, on the topic of a chatzar hashutfin. Am Rabbi Yechanan, Mishum, in the name of Rabbi Benah, Ba'koil, shutfin ma'akvin ze'ese, shutfin, partners, have a right to object to each other's tashmishin kivuin, permanent usages, things which are not typically done in a chatzar. You have to ask permission, you have to acquiesce. Otherwise, he can object. Right? But there are exceptions to the rule. Chutz min hakvisa. Except for doing laundry. Chachamim u'masakin, that any resident of the chatzar can have his people do laundry in the chatzar without being granted explicit permission by the partner, rather than having to go down to the river, which places the women at risk of exposure by having to deal with the water and keeping and lifting their clothing, etc. Chachamim established a special heter, a special directive that when it comes to this, you don't need to ask permission. Chutz min hakvisa, shein darkan shel bnei Yisrael is bazeis al hakvisa. It's not acceptable for Jewish women to have to expose themselves, embarrass themselves by doing laundry in public. On this topic, we have a pasuk in Yeshaya. Va'itzeim einav mer ois bara. How great is a person who closes his eyes tight shut and avoid looking at improper scenes. Who's that going on? Says the Gemara, Omar Abchir Abba Zesh She'en Mestakel Benoshim. It's referring to an individual who's careful, who guards his eyes from gazing at women when they're doing the laundry out, by the river or whatever, where there's a danger of gazing improperly. Rashi says because they have to go into the water, barefoot, etc. So, if one is careful to look away, to guard his eyes, how great he is. Asks the Gemara. So we're praising this person, which almost sounds like it would be okay, but he is worthy of extra praise for being careful. Hey Chidomi, what exactly are we speaking about? What are the circumstances involved? Does he have an alternate route? Does he not have an alternate route? Is he forced to go there? Is he not forced? What's going on? If there's another route that this man could take, which isn't longer, which, isn't more complicated than this route, so why is he even going here? Why is he even exposing himself to this challenge, to this risk? He's putting himself in an assayan. Rashbam says, even if he looks away, by submitting oneself to a difficult, challenging situation, Rasha who? And interestingly, the Chafetz Chaim writes, you know, this is a very harsh accusation. I mean, he's being careful. He's not going to look, right? So Chafetz Chaim says, when it comes to these issues of women, of arayas, a person is very, very vulnerable. We're very, very vulnerable to this nisayon, and therefore, a person's got to keep away. You can't just play with fire, walk there, and look away, and all that. So, if there's another way out, you should be taking the other route. Says, okay, let's say there is no other equal option, right? Honestly, so then why is he at fault? Why is he being blamed for being there? And the Rashbam adds, look, even if he happens to notice as he's walking, he's not trying to, it's inadvertent. It's as he's walking. Oynas Rachmana Patri, the Torah exempts a person who's an onus. Why does he even have to walk with his eyes closed? I mean, that's asking a lot from a person who just happened to be walking there against his will. Says the Gemara, by the way, you know, Moshe Feinstein, Igris Moshe, makes an interesting point. He says, what do you mean, onosu? We all know that when it comes to the cardinal sins, right? The Zorah, Gilei Arayos, and he says this is also connected to Gilei Arayos. It's Arayos-related issues. So what do you mean, onosu? Aynus is not really a p'tur. A person has to be Meiser Nefesh when it comes to these severe issues. So he says, you know, technically he's not really doing the Avodah Zarah. I mean, gazing and looking and noticing, that's not inherently an Avera. The Avera is because it can lead to further, can lead to a physical, it can trigger something physically in the person. So that's the main issue. But if a person happens to be walking by and it's just, you know, on his route, he's not blamed for that. He'll be careful not to, you know, internalize what he's seeing. He'll be careful to be masiach das, not to be taken by the sights and the scenes, right? Okay, so that's the Gemara's kasha. Honest answers the Gemara, lo'ilam d'leka d'akachrin, you're right. We're speaking about a person who has no other plausible route. V'afiluach, and still, mi bo'ile l'meinas nafshe. The point of the pasuk is to highlight the greatness of this person. True, it's perhaps not required of you. But preferably you should be honest yourself. You should force yourself to look aside, to close your eyes, to make all efforts and avoid gazing at things which are dangerous, spiritual. Okay, on the topic of Rabbi Yechon and quoting Rabbi Noah, we have another interesting point. Cholok shel Talmud Chacham Keita. To ask Rabbi Noah, how does a Talmud Chacham's robe look like? How long is it? In those days, they used to wear very long, right? Kol sheim sorer nirah metachtav, needs to go all the way down to the floor so that it covers even his bare feet. Talas shel Talmud Chacham Ketzad, above the chaluk was a talas. How long is that? Kol sheim chaluk nirah metachtav tefach, goes all the way down so that you don't see even a tefach of the bottom tefach of the chaluk uncovered. So it's almost completely covered. Shulchan shel Talmud Chacham Ketzad, how does Talmud Chacham's mealtime table look like? Shnei shlish egdil, shlish galoi, two-thirds of it is covered by a tablecloth, a third is exposed, v'olav ka'oris, v'yerek, on which they put the pots and the vegetables so that the tablecloth itself doesn't get dirty, so he keeps a neat and clean eating environment. V'tabatim b'chutz, tables had this little ring used to hang the table up, apparently like a small table. So typically it's situated on the outside, away from the eater, so it doesn't get in his way. But the Braisa says that the tabas is on the inside, between the eater and the table. Lekasha, the answer is, hadika yunuka, there's a child running around. So the tabas was inside, so the child doesn't get, you know, stuck on the tabas. Hadalaka yunuka, if there's no child around, then the tabas was situated outside. Vibay same another pshat. Haba adalaka yinuka. Both cases are speaking, there's no child around. Laikash. The answer is hadika shama. There's a waiter serving you, so keep the tabas away from the waiter, lest he, stumble on it. Hadalaka shama. There's no waiter, and keep the tabas outside. Vibay same another pshat. Haba hadika shama. Both are speaking, there is a shamas. Laikash. The answer is haba yimam haba lele. If it's daytime, keep it on the outside so the shamash can notice it, rather than keeping it on the inside, which will get in the way of the diner. Whereas if it's Belelia at night, keep it away from the Shama, so keep it inside. So this is all the Shulchan of a Talmud Chacham. V'shalam Oretz. What about a Shulchan of an unlearned fellow? whose meal time is one big heap of indulgence, daima le madura ukaderas makipas oisa. He doesn't have this cleanliness aspect. He has a tablecloth with everything sitting on it, dirtying it, all messy, like a fire with the pot surrounding it, and yeah, so everything is in the middle. Table, the pots on the outside, the trays on the outside, and surrounding the food, which is in the middle, it's one big mess. Mitzah shal talmid chacham ketzah. What about the bed of a talmid chacham? It's orderly, it's neat, it's clean. Ketzah kol shein tachteh el sandolin. He only keeps, you know, his shoes underneath it. Nothing else. It's not a local storage scene. All you have is el sandolin meisachama. He has his sandals, which he wears during the winter. So during summertime, it's stored on his bed, and his shoes, which he wears during the summer, is kept underneath the bed during winter time. That's it. Doesn't keep anything there, any food, anything else. Actually, Rashbam brings that food under a bed becomes tamei, right? The ruach ra, the evil spirit, descends on it during a person's sleep. So he keeps it clean and clear of any items. Vishalam aretz, as opposed to ham aretz, his bed is a local storage area. Daimer lo itzer bolos. Is one big, laden storage room with all kinds of things going on under his bed. Oichlim v'kelim. Okay, let's recap today's daf. We discussed cheskas tashmishin, which also requires 3 years of use and backed up by a claim of ownership. But it only applies to something which is kavua, which has an air of permanence, which should theoretically trigger objection and, in the absence of a mechah, can be used as proof of ownership. What about being mamad a behem on the chatzur? Mishnah says it's not a chazaka. With a mechitza, it is a chazaka. What do you mean? But the Mishnah later says, in Adarim, says that, earlier in Adarim, that even keeping stuff in a chatzur should trigger a mechah. The answer is, here we're speaking about a rechava, storage area behind the home. Another pshat is that sometimes a shutav is makbid, sometimes not. And we always go, when it comes to mamonis, we go l'kula. When it comes to isra, we go l'chumra. And finally, we have a pshat that a shutav is not makbid when it comes to keeping a behemoth, therefore it's not a chazaka, because our mission is speaking about a chatzar shutfim. When it comes to nedarim, even this type of slight use is asur, vitur asur b'mudar hana. Chachamu masakan that the shutfim should not be makbid on each other doing the kvisa and the chatzar to keep the women local and it's neistic. A person is meant to make the extra effort, to avoid inappropriate scenes. We learned about the special dress of a Talmud Chacham, his talus, his chaluk, his shulchan, and his mita. All the best to you, and atzlacha rabbah.